Heavenly Father, this morning as we have spent time worshiping you through music and stories and prayers, may you also accept our worship through our thoughts from our heart and our mind as we think about you, only you, your love for us and how we can love others too. So just guide our thoughts now in Jesus' name, amen. Every once in a while, I'll see something on Instagram or Facebook or somebody will email me and it's something that's just so simple yet so powerful too. It just happened not too long ago. It was this picture right here. Maybe you've seen it as well. It's a picture of this little girl. She's probably at some church. Maybe it's a Catholic church or somewhere else. And it's a statue, a sculpture of Jesus carrying the cross. And I know you skeptics out there are saying, come on, Pastor Matt, this is staged. Come on. Some mom was like, hey, run over there and I'll take a picture of you and it'll blow up the internet. Well, for this illustration purpose, it's not staged. This is 100% real, at least in my mind. But what I love about this picture is that this little girl understands the calling of a disciple to help someone that's hurting, that needs help, and she'll go over and pick up a cross if she has to. But it's so ironic to think of this little girl picking up a cross that the man who's carrying the cross chooses to carry the cross. Yet she's there helping him for the love of humanity. She's there to help. She's there to carry the weight from somebody else. You know, sometimes I wonder what our world would look like if there was no sin. I wonder what it would look like. What would humanity look like if there was less hate and more love? I wonder what it would look like if the church, that's the global group of people that God has called to share the message of love with the world. I wonder what it would look like if we loved more like Jesus. This morning, for the next few moments, we're going to look at 10 verses in the book of Luke, Jesus' words to us. And I hope they challenge you and me too as we think about the love for humanity. If you've got your Bible, I invite you to open it to Luke chapter 6, where we see this passage today. If you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. You can use the Pew Bible in front of you and you'll follow along on page 729. You'll read the same words that I'm reading today. Luke chapter 6. If you're new to church or maybe this is the first time you've ever opened a Bible, there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew obviously has the best name, but that's okay for the rest of them. And they all write the story of Jesus from birth to death. They write this picture of the Savior that came to the world. Matthew, he writes it from a kind of a Jewish perspective. His audience was Jews, and so he gives that feel. Mark is more from a Latin perspective, and Luke is completely different than all the rest because he's unlike all the rest. In fact, Luke is not a fisherman, and he's not a day laborer. Luke is a doctor. He's a physician. He is well-educated. He has degrees and letters after his name. And when he writes from a completely different perspective. Also a different perspective because he didn't walk with Jesus. He hears the stories of Jesus and he writes it secondhand. But Luke, he records Jesus' words. And let me just give you fair warning before we dive into Jesus' words. This is radical stuff that Jesus says. It's absolutely absurdity what he shares with us today. It's so challenging that I hope it challenges you. Here's what my Bible says. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 27. Luke 26, verse 27 says this. Jesus says, but to you who are listening, Forest Lake Church, I say these words, love your enemies. Man, we could stop there for a while, couldn't we? He says, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. He says, if someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them too. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. And then this last verse is just absolutely golden. He says, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's absurdity. That's ridiculousness. I mean, Jesus is dropping bombs on the church today. Love your enemies. Pray for them. Bless them. Are you kidding me, Jesus? What is this nonsense? I know Jesus, he speaks about loving your enemies. He uses this word a lot, love. In fact, it's that core word that goes throughout the whole New Testament message as that New Testament church in Acts grows and expands, and they carry this idea of loving others throughout the whole planet, and that's where we come from too. But the way Jesus talks about love is completely different than you and I talk about love. See, we use love all the time. In fact, my family, about pretty much every Saturday night, we get pizza. Now, there's really only two kinds of Seventh-day Adventist Christians in the world. There are the Saturday night pizza eaters, and they're the Saturday night popcorn and apples eaters. Am I right? Ah, I saw a hand. You're a popcorn and apples eater. I got you. Well, I've been both in my lifetime, but right now, currently, I'm a pizza eater on Saturday night. And so my family regularly gets the world's worst pizza known to mankind, Little Caesars, and some breadsticks on Saturday night, and we eat those. And regularly, my boys say these words, "Dad, I love pizza." We use that word all the time. We use it with our pets, our dogs. We say, "Oh, I love Sparky. What would I do without him?" We use the word love when we talk about the weather. We say, "Man, it's so hot in Florida, but I love the 11 days of winter that we have." But here's the problem if that's what our concept of love is, because it only takes one burned slice of pizza for you to stop loving. It only takes one vicious dog bite for you to stop loving. It only takes one hot day in January for you to stop loving. And when Jesus uses love, it's so much more complex. And many of you know that in Greek, there's lots of different words for the word love. You've got eros, and you've got phileo, and you've got agape. And eros is that sensual, like intimate love that has super high highs and low lows. You've got phileo, which is Philadelphia, brotherly love, which is, it's kind of this idea of an interaction, a contract, where it says, "I will love you if you will love me," or "I will love you because you love me." It's this interaction, it's a contract, it's a handshake. But you get to agape love that Jesus talks about, and it's completely different, absolutely different. It doesn't come with strings attached. It's completely selfless love. It's no conditions with this love. It's not dependent on love in return. Agape love withstands hurts and goes beyond hate. It's love that endures all things, that goes beyond all things, that forgives all things, that doesn't fear anything and won't stop no matter what. It's like this, in a very odd illustration for agape love. A long time ago, back in the 1900s, back in 1990, some of you were alive back then, there was a man named Rick Swopes, about 35 years old. He had a family. He was a truck driver from Cement City, Michigan. And he took his family to the Detroit Zoo to see the brand new chimpanzee exhibit. So his kids and his wife, they're all standing. It's crowded because it's a brand new exhibit. They're standing there at the fence. They're looking past the barricades, and they see all the chimpanzees, and they're playing. They're having such a great time. They're swinging, and everyone's laughing and trying to get the chimps to look at them. And two chimpanzees are playing, and they get kind of rough, and one shoves the other chimpanzee down over the cliff, down into the water-filled moat to keep the chimps in their enclosure. And chimpanzees are built a little different than humans. Their bones are larger and denser. And so this chimpanzee right here, his name is Jojo. It's an older picture of him. He falls down into the moat and sinks straight to the bottom. They don't float. And so everyone's gasping and wondering, what's going to happen? They see the bubbles coming up, but there's no chimpanzee rising to the surface. And Rick Swopes, who's just a truck driver, he says, "I got to do something." He climbs the fence of the enclosure. He's not worried about getting arrested. He's not worried about getting attacked. He climbs this fence. He dives down into the 5 feet of murky water and gets Jojo, pulls this chimpanzee out, puts him on the shore so that he can breathe. And when reporters talked to him later, they said, "Why would you do something like this?" And he said, "Who wouldn't do something like this?" See, this is this picture of agape love, not looking for love in return, but just doing it for the love of humanity. See, agape love spans all boundaries, even biogenetic boundaries between humans and animals. Agape love, it's just completely different love. It goes beyond fear. It goes beyond differences. It reaches past labels like friend or foe or any other label you want to put. In fact, agape love is, I'll give up my life to save your life. Or you could use the words of Jesus where he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. And Jesus, he says to us this morning, he says, you love those enemies. Do to them as you would have them do to you. Bless them. Pray for them. When's the last time you prayed for your enemy? And yet all too often, even though Jesus speaks these words to us, how many times do we end up getting in a slap fight with someone? I'm not talking about Jake Paul and Mike Tyson last night. But we do it all the time. We get this slap happy. Literally this morning, a few hours ago, I'd finished working on my sermon. Had a few minutes, and I was just scrolling Facebook, seeing whose birthdays it was, whatever, you know, looking through there. And I see two people slapping each other through words on Facebook. And you know them and I know them. It happens everywhere. Why do we do this to each other? We end up slapping each other with articles and YouTube videos and websites where we say, this will show them, this will prove my point. And we slap each other by saying, wake up, America. We slap each other with judgmental looks and smirks and huffs and puffs and eye rolls when we disagree. And yet Jesus, he says, hey, pray for the enemies. He says, listen, he says, if they take your coat, give them their shirt too. He says, give grace. And he hits us with this golden rule that you know so well and I know so well. And if you're a parent, you get this because you've printed this out and you've put it on your refrigerator and you wrote it on your kids' mirrors because you when you see the disagreements, you say, the Bible, Jesus says, love others. He said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Yet how often do we really do that? How often do we live the gospel? See, Jesus, he goes on. He moves on in this passage. Verse 32, he says this. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? I mean, even sinners do that, love those who love them. He says, and if you do good for those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. He says, and if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. He says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High because He is kind. He's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Jesus says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful too. I love that Jesus doesn't let off the gas and give us an out, you know? He just sticks with it. He says, it's not good enough to just love those that love you back. Love the ones that aren't like you, the ones that disagree with you, the ones that might even hate you. Those are the ones that deserve the agape love the most. Or it's like this guy with his sign that he says, we can disagree and still be friends. Listen, the calling of a disciple is not an easy calling. If it was, then everybody would be doing it. It's a challenge, an everyday kind of challenge to live like Jesus lives and to love like Jesus loves for the love of humanity. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to give you a heart test this morning. Not a pulse test, not a heart stress test. It's like a spiritual EKG. I don't even know what an EKG is, but I think that fits here. Hey, you're medical. Is it right? EKG? I think that's right. A spiritual EKG. Will you take the test with me this morning? Will you take the test with me this morning? You don't have an option, so here we go. I'm going to give you several situations. They're very light, easy situations, but this is just a heart check to see where you are. Do you love humanity like Jesus loves humanity? These are very surface level. Here's the first one. First one's this. You go to get groceries. Maybe you go to Publix. Maybe you go to Walmart, not pickup on this illustration. You can't go to Aldi on this one, even though that's a winner. Maybe some of you like to go to Costco because you like the bulk stuff. Maybe that's the only place you shop. Some of you have had to build a barn out back for all the bulk items you buy. You get your cart, you go in, you get all your stuff. They either bag it or they box it or whatever. You go out to your car. It's 110 degrees outside, pouring rain. It's miserable. You get out to your car. You're fumbling for your keys. Maybe some of you have a little kick thing, and then the trunk lid pops open. You unload your groceries, and then you're left with a predicament because you still have a cart right here. And you say, well, where's the closest cart corral? And so you look, and it's two lanes over, right? And you say, well, I'll just take it back to the store. And you turn around and the store's a quarter mile this way. And so you're left with this situation. It's not even really a moral situation. Is there even a right or wrong? But what will you do? How's your heart this morning? Are you going to walk it over to the cart corral? I mean, you're not going to get arrested if you don't. Maybe the worst thing that could happen if you don't take it over there is another church member see you and judge you. What are you going to do? Will you take it over there, or are you just going to hook it across the curb? How's your heart this morning? How about this one? This is even lighter. Okay? You go on vacation. It's spring break. And you rent an Airbnb, maybe a VRBO. You take the whole family there. And you're enjoying your time. It's time to leave. You've packed up everything. Moms have already opened every single drawer in the house, even though you didn't even open the drawers, just in case. You've looked under the beds for toys and socks and cell phone chargers. You are literally ready to walk out the door. And as you stand there, just looking back at this little place you rented, you notice that all the lights are still left on, every single light. Now, here's the deal. You paid money to stay at this house, so you've kind of owned this house for a while. It's your home, but you could leave all the lights on and it wouldn't matter, or you could turn all the lights off and save the owner some electricity. Is it a moral issue? I don't know. Is there a right or wrong? I don't know. But what do? You shut them off? Do you leave them on? How's your heart this morning? Two more stories. Put yourself in my shoes. This happened a little while ago, several years ago, actually. I was driving down Cobb Parkway, 41, up there in Kennesaw, Georgia, coming down a hill, going into town, and I was the lead car in a bunch of cars behind me. We'd just left a stoplight, and so I was that front car. And as I'm driving along, both lanes are filled, and on the other side of the median, there's two lines of traffic coming this way. And as I'm driving along, I notice two police motorcycles with their lights on. Behind them is a hearse. Behind them is a line of cars with their lights, flashers going. They even have little flags on top of their car. It's a funeral, right? There's no written law that says you've got to pull over out of respect for a funeral. But for the love of humanity, that's what we do, especially here in the dirty South, right? It's just respectful. We honor the family that has lost a loved one. And as I'm driving, I feel the pressure of all the cars behind me, because whatever I choose to do, they will probably do too. If I keep cruising on, they might as well. If I stop, then they will stop too. And so I'm stuck in this moment. And so I decide, for the love of humanity, for the sake of that family, and I ease the car off the side of the road and just stopped. And everyone stopped behind me. And the other side stops as well, except for this one car that weaves his way through and shoots on. Now, I don't know what's happening to him. Maybe his wife's having a baby in the front seat for all we know. But what would you do? How's your heart this morning? Last situation, and this one's almost a little embarrassing, to be honest with you. I remember this very well, even though it was several years ago when this happened, because it was a marker in my mind on how's my heart. I was driving from my in-law's house to my house in Georgia, Kennesaw, Georgia, and I was driving a U-Haul. They'd given us a whole bunch of furniture, and so I was driving it from their house to our house, and it was pouring rain on the freeway. I mean, like hurricane rain. The windshield wipers couldn't keep up. They're slapping both sides of the windshield. I'm hydroplaning on the freeway just to gotta get this furniture home, right? It's free. So we're coming along, and we get to our exit, Wade Green Road, and we pull off the exit, and we're driving down Wade Green Road, and we come to this place where there's a median in the middle, and it's just one-lane traffic going on either side, and the road gets pretty tight there, especially if you're in a big U-Haul. And as I'm driving, trying to see the road, I notice up ahead, there is a guy on a bicycle on the sidewalk. He's riding along on the sidewalk in the rain. This dude is drenched. There is not any part of him that is not soaking wet. I mean, he's dripping from the insides of his eyelids. I mean, this is terrible. He is soaked to the bone. And I'm sad to admit that my mind went here, and you fellows will probably agree with me. As I'm driving along, no, I didn't think, maybe I'll pick him up out of the rain. First service caught me on that one. That wasn't the idea. I'm driving along, and I'm seeing the timing about what time I'm going to catch up to him. And it just so happens that if my math is right, I will end up right next to him, right at the place where there's this giant puddle right in the road. Are you with me? You know what I'm thinking. And if I just press the gas a little bit more, those big dually tires of that U-Haul will hit that puddle just right, that it will send a Typhoon Lagoon kind of wave washing over this guy. He's already wet. And in my head, I think that would be hilarious. But for the love of humanity, I won't tell you what I did. You'll have to ask me after the service. But how's your heart this morning? How'd you do on our test? Do you love humanity like God loves humanity? Do you put others first? Do you practice the golden rule? Do you have agape love? And do you live the gospel? Now, before I give you my last story, I want to make sure you have a chance to send me your responses so we can read them here at the end. How you can show love to humanity. So if you haven't, you want to just take a scan of that little barcode and send me your response, and we'll read them here in a minute. But the story is told of a young man named Yonkel. At the time where he recorded this story, he was a very old man living in Brooklyn, but he was a Jew that survived the Holocaust. And he tells the story about a time when he was 8 or 9 years old over in Nazi Germany. And the Jews were being hustled off to concentration camps. And so they, at one point, he found himself in a boxcar on his way to Auschwitz. He said that the Nazis would leave these boxcars on the side tracks for days in the freezing cold. No food, no water, no blankets. And in this one night that he's telling the story about, he said it was freezing cold. So cold. People were doing their best to stay warm together, but it just got so, so cold. And he, as he's looking across the boxcar, he notices an elderly man from his own town who's not looking good. Blue lips, he's shivering. And so Yonkel, this 8-year-old boy, he goes over to this elderly man and he begins to hug him and try to warm him and to rub his back. He rubs his legs and his feet and his hands, and he breathes on him, and he's just trying to keep him warm, and he's encouraging him, stay alive, you can do this, we can make it through the night. And all night long, he's rubbing him. He says he rubs his neck and his face, and he's just giving him friction and sharing warmth back and forth. And in the morning, as the sun rises and the sun trickles in through that boxcar, Yonkel looks around the boxcar, and everyone is dead except for the two people, the one that had received the warm love from someone else and the one that had given that warmth to him. Church, God calls us to love humanity, to love our enemies too. And I want to know from you guys what you think is the best way to show your love for humanity. And so I've got some ideas here. A bunch have come in just a minute. Let's see. I'm going to scroll down here. Ooh, first one I see here. Be unoffendable. Wow. Here's one. By helping and serving people in need. Give that homeless person a burger, somebody says. Amen. You speak with love, you act with love, you see with love, that will show love. Love it. Here's one. Just be kind. Simple. Someone says, Pastor Matt, don't splash the man riding his bike while it's raining and you're in your car. Amen. Here's one. This is so good. Give the benefit of the doubt to others. Amen. Here's one. Be kind and compassionate, sharing with others. Treat them as if Jesus were treating them. This is a good one. To live that God loves them. To live the life that God loves them. Oh, this is a simple one. I wonder who put this one. This could be a kid. Put back things in their place that you picked up in the store. We're all guilty, aren't we? This morning in first service, there was one that said, and I love this one so much, they said, make a loaf of bread for your grumpy neighbor. I wonder if you're that neighbor, just saying, I don't know. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I'm challenged today to have the heart of Jesus in my heart, to love people like you love them, to see the world through your eyes so that I can love humanity more. May you push our church, this beautiful Forest Lake church family, may you push us to be more others-centered and outward-focused so that we can make the biggest impact possible here in Apopka. God, we love you, and we can't wait to see you. In Jesus' name, amen.